Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
In Overnight America continues on. Honored to have the author of a new book came out within the last couple of months, but I'm on Amazon right now. 5-star ratings on it. It's still trending in books. Number 34 in intelligence and espionage history. Military leader biographies also trending in that one. A lot of great things to say about this one. Is called Mob 6, a SEAL Team 6 operator's battles in the fight for good over evil. And joining us now is the author of that book, Justin Sheffield. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you very much for having me.
It looks like you've been getting great reviews. I mean, normally you go to Amazon and you see, you know, 4 stars, 4.5 stars, but it looks like everyone that's read your book picked it up, and all the different ratings on it all love your book. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. It's been a pretty amazing outpouring of support on Amazon and on social media. I've had an awesome response. Thank you.
So SEAL Team 6, it's quite an interesting association to have and to be able to walk around with, a very historic one that I think most people understand what it's associated with. So I'm wondering, for your sake, we look at the history of SEAL Team 6. How long did you serve for?
I served in the Navy for almost 15 years, but at SEAL Team 6 specifically, I was there for about 9 years.
Wow.
From 05 to about 2014, sorry.
Is this more or less just a overview of your entire military career? Is this focused specifically of what happened in Afghanistan?
It is. It's more of an overview. So, you know, it starts, before I was in the Navy, and it kind of follows through. I did a couple of platoons in the regular SEAL teams at SEAL Team 8, and then I went to SEAL Team 6 in 05, and covers down on a lot of the war time combat experiences that we all went through as a unit.
Yeah.
And I was medically retired at the end of 2014, and it kind of covers down on what a lot of our veterans are going through from that era.
Yeah. We can also look too about our veterans over the years. And unfortunately, throughout the years, we can go back and see that there's not a great track record of how we treated our veterans in the past. I'm hoping things are getting better. And do you feel like you were taken care of when it was time for you to retire?
I would say this. That's a great question. I think that veterans are definitely getting better care. I think we've got a ways to go, though. When I was getting out, and it's no fault to the military, but a lot of the answer for guys like me was medication, and there wasn't a real good off-ramp for us. So they spend $20 million on getting one of us ready to go, equipment, training, everything. And sort of when we're at the end of that rope, it's a lot of medication. And so a lot of guys end up getting strung out on drugs, unfortunately, because of it, because you're on things like, you know, Oxycontin, and you might be taking Adderall, or you might take it an antidepressant, for example. And a lot of those together don't mix, along with now you're depressed because everything you've worked for is gone, so to speak, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
it's troubling.
I know what you mean. Hopefully things are getting better. It seems like there has been a higher priority put on not only the VA hospitals, but treatment for veterans and what they're facing when they come back. Because you can go back and look at the different eras. I guess you can go back to the Korean War, our Vietnam veterans and past, and look in, you know, Desert Storm even. You can look at the way it was just let to, it was one of those things that you just didn't talk about. There were so many different struggles and problems with that, and unfortunately, there wasn't the priority put onto it. So I'm hoping that that does change and continue to change in the future. Maybe when people read your book, they can understand really what these veterans are going through.
Yes, sir. I mean, I cover that. I cover down on that in detail. And I would say this too. You know, there's a lot of guys like me who are out now and sort of have gotten through some of these really difficult times and are able to come together and help each other out. And we've provided some different things for guys to kind of move into and help them get some treatments that aren't medication, the standard, you know, pharmaceutical medication. And it's really, you know, we've been going for about 4 years now with my foundation. And there's many others that are doing some great work with veterans for different things and really kind of leading the charge on it. And so it's nice because it's other guys that have been through this. And it's cool to see and cool to be a part of.
Yeah, and sometimes the difficult part is trying to get veterans to want to accept it. And I've noticed in different charities I've worked with in the past, including, and this is one in, when I really became aware of what goes on with some veterans when they come back from war. And it was a food pantry we were helping to fundraise for. And she was saying that you can go into these situations where some veterans, they just don't want to leave their house. They have the drapes are closed all the time. And if they do leave, it's to go to the corner store and they have bare fridges. And I think, wow, I'm sure there's people out there that want to help these heroes. And she says, it's not that. It's that they don't want to accept help. And they just want to be alone. They want to seclude themselves and they want to separate themselves from that. And I think that trying to reach veterans through other veterans in order to show that we can do certain things to improve their lives, that's so valuable.
Absolutely agree. And you know what I see too is a lot of guys, you know, they're looking for that same camaraderie that they had, and they were at a level where they're either, you know, we have to be in shape, that's part of our job, for example. Mentally, you have to be ready to go every day, especially where I used to work, because every day was different. You could be jumping, you could be out taking a ship down, you could be on the gun range shooting, whatever. Very fast and furious stuff. And when that gets sort of taken away from you, or like me, you kind of lose the edge because maybe you've had too many explosions around your head, or maybe your body is just completely given out. And this happens, and a lot of times it's both. And nobody wants to ask for help because we're all go-getters and we all end up, you know, figuring things out on our own. And it's very hard, but I think the word's getting out because more and more I get calls from guys, and it'll be in private and they'll open up to me. And it's a pretty great thing to be on this side of it and be able to help them because we are doing some pretty great work with it. But yeah, so it's hard for guys to reach out, but I think the more they're hearing that it's okay, you know what I mean? There is hope. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to continue down the road of drugs and alcohol. It's really hard to get off of that stuff. You know what I mean? It was for me, for sure.
Yeah, and knowing that there's someone else that has a shared experience, someone that could relate to the things that you're going through, and knowing that you're not alone, it's such an important and valuable thing. So your book is Mob 6, A SEAL Team 6 Operator's Battles in the Fight for Good Over Evil, and author Justin Sheffield. Do you mind holding on after the break? I have some questions about things that we're seeing today, and I'm just curious, with all the reports about headhunters out there and people trying to get soldiers, and Russia's playing all of this, I'm curious if that was even something that you guys discussed when you were active duty, and I'm wondering how unique of a situation that may be. So maybe we could talk about that coming up after the break.
Yes, sir.
Great. Justin Sheffield, we'll continue our conversation with him. You can actually go find his book on Amazon right now, and you can just maybe do a search for him, Justin Sheffield, in the book Mob 6. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
And Overnight America will continue tonight for a little while longer. And it always seems like it goes so fast when we have interesting guests, including our guest that has stuck around, author Justin Sheffield, member of SEAL Team 6. And he's got a book out now. It's called Mob 6, a SEAL Team 6 Operators Battles in the Fight for Good Over Evil. Thank you again for being with us tonight, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been part of the discussion in social media. A lot of people have been looking at the way other countries may or may not have put out heads, you know, bounties, whatever you may call them, for different military members of the United States military. And we see that Russia may have played a part in this. I'm going to guess that when you're fighting a foreign war, this is always, it has always been a threat that there may be some sort of group out there that may be purposely trying to target you because there would be a price on your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So nothing new there, really.
No, nothing new there. And I guess what I would say about the current situation, I don't personally know. I can't say that I could verify the truth to it. But what I would say is, you know, we're dealing with the Taliban. So they didn't all of a sudden become peaceful. They are a terrorist group. They're openly terrorists, you know, extremist Islamists. So these people want to kill us, period. There's no, yeah. We can do all the peace talks with them that we want to. It's not going to solve anything. So,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And as the peace talks, and that's the thing, even if there are peace talks on the upper level, it doesn't mean the boots on the ground are actually a part of those, or that there's any sort of reprieve or any sort of halt fire or anything like that during those times. So it's still a very dangerous thing. And by the way, when you go through training, what do they tell you about that? Do they just is it something that you have to prepare for when you go to a foreign country, that there may be people that try to take you prisoner?
Absolutely. We go through pretty intensive training for getting taken prisoner. I would say with guys like me, they're not going to hold us as prisoner very long. They're going to kill us. Yeah. But they do take prisoners. And the Taliban, you know, they take a lot of Afghani prisoners. And this is what they do. They'll come into an area and completely take over. They'll take the women. They'll take the children. They'll do horrible things. They'll do horrible things to the men, and they get people to, you know, commit suicide with SVS and stuff like that. So we're talking about a very bad group of people. You don't want to get captured by them.
I got to ask, we're coming up on the 4th of July weekend. What does the 4th of July mean to you?
Well, I'm red, white, and blue all the way. And, you know, when we would go over, it's for God and for country, and we believe that. And when I see an American flag, I still stand at attention, and I always will. And this is the same flag that goes over our buddies when they die, and it gets folded up and handed to a child or to a spouse. I love our country. I love our flag. And, you know, freedom is, it's where we are. It's liberty. We have it still, and we can't lose it. And there's a lot of stuff going on right now, but, you know, we're fighting against these oppressive restrictions that we're talking about that the Taliban impose on people, right? We don't want to bring that here. We want to stay a nation that's free. So,
yeah. I want to talk about you as an author. Why did you decide to write a book? What did you always have a passion to do something like this, or was there something that really motivated you to do it?
You know, I did not. And actually, there's a pretty hardcore stigma for writing a book, coming from my background, for any of us. But when I went to a place called NICO, which is a place at Bethesda to help vets out that are suffering from PTSD or brain trauma or a myriad of different things, one of the forms of therapy was to write. And I started writing there. And I enjoyed it. I looked at it as a release. And that's what I used to do, is sort of throw up on the page, if you will. Mm-hmm. And last year I got pretty serious about it and sat down and wrote Mob 6.
Yeah, well, that's great. And you've been getting some really great, great response. And if people really wanted to find out more about this book or find out about you, what's the best place for them to look?
You can, like you said earlier, and I appreciate it, you can get the book Mob 6 on Amazon right now. I have an Instagram page. You can follow me, as well as Facebook, Mob 6, Justin Sheffield. And then our foundation is called All Eagles Oscar. And you can find us at alleaglesoscar.org. and see what about what we're doing with veterans. It's pretty awesome stuff. We've been going for about 4 years now.
Yeah, tell me about your foundation and what you've been doing. What exactly is your mission there?
Yeah, so just to back up a little bit, I was in a really bad way when I was out, and I was on nothing but medication, like we talked about earlier, and very suicidal, looking forward to it, actually. And I got to a point where, you know, the look of fear in my kids' eyes and my wife, I was over it. I was over life. I felt like a failure and on all kinds of medications, you know, no light at the end of the tunnel. So we found this place that does magnetic resonance therapy, and it was amazing. Started sleeping again, got off all the meds. It's a very expensive treatment, so we started a foundation to fund it for other veterans.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How many people have you found reached out to you through that foundation? Is there a large need for that?
There is a very large need, and you know, there's more than one foundation that are trying to tackle this problem, but the treatment is working great, and we've personally, All Eagles Oscars, treated over 200 guys now, and girls,
right.
Excuse me. So we're on a roll, and the line is definitely not getting shorter, but it is working. You know, we do about 4 a month right now is where we're at.
Yeah. So I'm curious, the people you served with, are you in pretty good communication with them? Do you guys still talk?
A lot of them that are out, we talk almost daily.
Great. That's awesome to hear that. Really happy to hear that. And I think that's also part of the importance of all of this is to tell these stories. And I think a lot of times people don't really understand everything that goes into serving in the military if you haven't served in the military. And that's why it's important to put a lot of things in perspective, because unfortunately you see things on social media and you see things that are chanted out in the street, and you see a lot of these mistruths or these misrepresentations of really the good that is done through the people that serve this country. And I think that you get a better respect, not only for the freedoms that we have, but also for the people that helped and wanted to put their lives on the line to protect those freedoms. Mob 6, a SEAL Team 6 operator's battles in the fight for good over evil. And author Justin Sheffield, I got to say, it was a true honor to talk to you here tonight. And I'm really glad that you wrote this. I'm glad that you're helping people, and I'm glad you're telling your story.
Thank you very much for having me.
And anyone here listening, go to Amazon, look up the book, M.O.B., Mob 6, and you can actually look him up by his name, Justin Sheffield, author. And you can see all the great reviews. It's still trending on Amazon. It's getting great reviews. And you can kind of get a nice little rundown of what's covered in the book. If this is something you think you would enjoy, or this is something else, I encourage this every once in a while. Not to all of our authors, but once in a while. And this is one that I think would absolutely, absolutely fit. If you know someone that is a veteran, or you may say, oh, that sounds like Uncle So-and-so, or oh, that sounds like our friend, or that sounds like our neighbor that you think would benefit from this. It's so easy. You just put their address and just ship it straight to their house, and you'll be a godsend to them, because when they read things like this and let them know that there is help and there's other things out there for them and resources for them and that they're not alone, you can make a world of difference for people. And I say that when there's a mission behind sometimes these books, that they have these other sides to them that really do help and encourage other people that have served. So do that. Think about doing that for a book like this, Mob 6, Justin Sheffield, the author. When we come back from break, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the 4th of July, because we're coming up just a few days away. It's Saturday. And we're going to talk to Richard Battle. He's a veteran business building expert, and he's wrote books that talk about conquering life's course, but in general, kind of an interesting thought about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. What does that actually mean? What are we celebrating? And what are you celebrating? So we'll talk to him about that coming up in just a moment with author Richard Battle on Overnight America KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Richard Battle is a veteran business building expert, also a author of a book called Conquering Life's Course, Common Sense in Chaotic Times. He's someone we had on 3 months ago, maybe, and he brings his expertise back on to Overnight America. Thanks for coming on.
Brian, good evening. It's great to be back with you and the KMOX audience.
Oh, yes. So, your book, talking about conquering life's course. I think, did we talk about a couple of months ago, was it the coronavirus we were talking about?
I think that we spoke just before the coronavirus hit.
Okay.
And a lot of the things that we've been working on previously and currently cover some of the things that we're going through right now.
Yeah, and basically there's always these different discussions, I guess coronavirus included, but polarizing discussions, if it's not about money or business or religion, or it could be about race, it could be about sports. There's always something divisive out there, but in particular right now it seems like we fuel ourselves on divisive discussions, not for the better good, not to try to help the situation, not actually trying to further the discussions along either. I think we just do it in a very bitter way. It's not all that healthy. I'm curious, when you look at this on a business standpoint, or at least in a business atmosphere, you probably notice the same things, a microcosm of what we see in the country.
Well, absolutely. And I think that the interesting thing to me, and I've had some challenges in my life, and normally people, when they have challenges such as heart issues or cancer or losing a loved one, face it individually or in small groups. And the rest of us are carrying on our business while they're suffering, and we may miss what they're going through. But with COVID-19, we're all experiencing the same thing at the same time. Hmm. Now, we're coming at it from different positions, and we're responding to it in different ways. But the uncertainty, anxiety, fear, worry is increasing stress levels on people, and that's increasing some of these activities that we're seeing because of all of those factors that are unique to this year so far.
Mm. And yes, that does put a wrench into a lot of people's plans going into this year. We were looking at some really great economic numbers. People were just chugging along. The economy was doing great. People were just in a better position all the way around. Unemployment was down low, and you could look at unemployment based on, you know, different groupings. And I got to say, that came to a screeching halt, and that put a lot of wrench into people's plans, too. Now we're trying to figure out a way to get things back to normal. And part of being back to normal is just really the American dream, being able to better yourselves, the dream that you're going to make life better for your kids. That's kind of, I think, every parent's dream is that their kids are better off than they were. And just like our parents and our parents' parents, they had similar types of dreams. And the idea of the pursuit of happiness, this is something that Americans have looked at for many years. The pursuit of happiness, the ability to be able to go out and make it for yourself. And we're coming up on the 4th of July, and those statements get a little bit stronger during the 4th of July. It becomes a little bit more historic. I was hoping you might be able to talk a little bit about that, the mentality behind it, and really, as we can celebrate America, what that means to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Let me set the context first, because when I was young, my mother would tell me how blessed I was to be born and living in the United States. And like most people, I listened in one ear and out the other, because I thought that what I had was what I was supposed to have, and that everybody else around the world had the same thing I did. But as I grew and traveled around the world, I've seen, just because people may look the same as we do around the world, their opportunity in life is not the same. And that's why they're beating down our doors trying to get in, because what we've been given in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution are unique in the world. And the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not a guarantee of happiness, but the freedom economically and politically to pursue whatever we want, whenever we want in our life, is unique in the world.
You know, I'm trying to find the quote real quick, because I think it's James Brown, and he had a song where he was just talking about he's so happy to be back in America, and he was singing about what other country can you start as a shoe shiner and then end up meeting the president of the United States and shaking his hand? And ain't that the truth? Like, there's so many things we could be proud of in this country, and we forget about those things because how divisive things are. We look at the things that divide us as opposed to the things that unite us. And it's difficult, really, in times like these and just in social media's world where everything's all negative and toxic, that we can look past that. And hopefully the 4th of July can bring some of that back.
Well, yes, and I believe that during this COVID situation, there's two groups of people. There's one group that's eating, drinking, watching, binge watching television, and waiting for this to be over with. And there's another group that's taking the lemons that we've been given and turning them into lemonade. They're studying, they're figuring out other things they want to do in their life. They're preparing. And their attitude is that they're going to make it through this, and when it's over, they're going to take off like a rocket ship. And the other group will be wondering, what happened? How did they get ahead of me so fast? And yeah, I really that it's our choice every day which one of those two groups we want to be in.
Yeah, RichardBattle.com is your website, and you can see some of your work on there. But we're talking Conquering Life's Course, Common Sense in Chaotic Times. And part of the problem that we run into is the discussion about the unemployment. And, you know, there's almost an incentive to not work, as in we're going to let the extra money that comes in every week be the incentive to stay at home as opposed to go out and do something. And unfortunately, I'm guessing the ones that may be drawing that, of course, it started with an absolute need, and we didn't want them to have to, you know, live out on the street or not be able to put food on their table. But how many people do you think actually saw that as an opportunity to say, well, I'm not having to go into the office today. I'm furloughed. The government gives me a little bit of security to go out and, you know, continue to pay the bills, but this gives me an opportunity to do something else with my life. Do you think there are people out there actually doing that?
I think there are. I can't tell you the percentage, but I think the smart people are taking this opportunity to do things that they couldn't have done in the other environment before this. And every day they have a choice. What can I do today to improve my situation during and after this situation?
Well, how do you defeat that mindset, the incentive of it's easier for me to not work versus do work? So in some cases, we're wondering if the recovery has been slower because the government has been able to help when it comes to unemployment benefits. And we're wondering, too, because we talk to business owners that are just thirsty. They're looking for people to come work for them, and they can't get people to come work for them. It's like they're begging, please come back to work. So I want to talk about that. How do people get motivated, and how do people get demotivated, and what's the thing that's really holding people back from getting back at it?
Well, partially, I believe that work has been stigmatized. And I wrote a book some years back, The Four-Letter Word That Builds Character, and it was about the lifelong lessons I learned from being a paper boy at 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some people now that think they're too good to do hard work or demeaning work. One summer, I had to shovel sludge at a sewer plant for a while as part of a job, and it was very nasty work in the hot sun. But that work helped me to become who I am. And so there's no job that's too bad to do if it's an honest job, and it builds dignity, and it inspires you to attain higher levels. So we have to reinstitute the dignity of work and the importance that each job is a rung on the ladder for moving up, not a dead end spot you're going to be in the rest of your life.
Wow. How's your paperboy arm? Is it pretty good?
Well, fortunately, I turned it into baseball and softball, and that helped as well.
So it crossed over. You had some sort of training almost. You looked at it as in, how can I leverage this work of throwing it around? I'm like that, too. When I was in school, whenever I was allowed to work, I remember I had to take the slip into my high school, and the guidance counselor had to sign it to give me permission to get a part-time job outside of work. And I can't remember what the age limit was, 14 and a half or whatever. 15, I can't remember, but as soon as I was allowed to, I wanted to, because I just always had that mindset. And for me, going to college was about trying to get a little bit closer to my career. It wasn't just something to do. And I think that that work ethic, unfortunately, it's difficult in some people. They just don't see an end to it. They just see, I just got to take going through the motions, and then everything will just fall into place for me. And they find out that not everything always falls in place.
Well, I agree with that. And as I mentioned in that book, The Four-Letter Word That Builds Character, again, I did not go into that job as an 11-year-old to learn lifelong lessons. I went into it to make the $6 a week I would get for working yeah. 7 days a week. And that was big money for an 11-year-old. But
oh, yeah.
I had a guys in a personal development course about what was the one lesson you learned from your first job. And when I looked back and thought of the lessons I learned, I came up with 14 of them that had impacted my whole life that I learned as a byproduct of that. And I'm so grateful I did that job, because it blessed me for the rest of my life.
You know, I'm looking at your website right now, richardbattle.com, and I'm just trying to estimate your age. So I'm guessing, as on a paper route, you weren't old enough to have Mickey Mantle cards in the spokes of your bike. So that's probably a good investment opportunity to not put baseball cards in there. Because I don't know how many people I heard grew up in the 50s or whatever. They bought the baseball cards and they look back at it and they say, I can't believe I put that in my bike.
But it was in the 60s, but I put some of those cards in my bike, yes.
Do you mind holding on after the break? We can talk a little bit more about what some businesses are going through right now.
Not at all. Thank you.
So the book is called Conquering Life's Course, Common Sense in Chaotic Times. One of his six books, which you can find on his website, richardbattle.com. We're going to continue our conversation with him next on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Joining us is author Richard Battle. You can go to his website, richardbattle.com, and one of his latest books, Conquering Life's Course, Common Sense in Chaotic Times. Hey, thank you again for being live with us tonight on Overnight America, Richard.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
You know, just talking about the atmosphere that we're seeing in today's economy, I'm curious if, when you talk to other business owners, if you're seeing the same thing nationwide like we're seeing in some areas like St. Louis, is that as things start to reopen, businesses are trying to bring people back in, they're trying to hire people, but they're finding it's very difficult. They actually can't find people to take the job. They want to pay people to do the job, they can't find people to do the job. Are you seeing this as a nationwide trend right now?
Well, I see it in some businesses, but what I see more is the change of how business is conducted. Hmm. And but what I mean by that is people working from home, mm-hmm. The change in travel schedules, and those changes I think are going to be far more lasting for a longer period than the challenge of trying to hire people right now is. Because businesses are having to totally change their models on how they employ and supervise people to make sure the job gets done.
That's very interesting, too. They're having to figure that all of things out at the same time, and they got to make decisions pretty quick if they want to stay afloat. I'm curious, the Mike Rose of the world, the ones that talk about the way the economy plays into the workforce, he's got a very specific message. You know, he did the Dirty Job show for a while. What do you think of Mike Rowe?
Oh, I think he's great because he's showing the dignity of work, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, and talking about different jobs that people do. And the real work in the world is what makes this world go round. It's not the entertainers. It's not the politicians. The people, everyday people doing the jobs that they do, truckers, grocers, restaurants, you know, they're the real people that make this world go. And I and so many other people have appreciated them during this pandemic because, unlike 100 years ago, we have communications, we have water, we have power. We have so many things that our ancestors didn't have when the pandemic 100 years ago happened.
Yeah. And I learned these things pretty quick when you start to do more things on your own. I've gotten soft over the years. I used to work hard, long days. I used to be outside all the time. And the older I got, I realized that just doing a fraction of that for one day is enough for me to realize just how lucky I am to be able to do the things I do. So you're right. It's part of it, building those experiences and being able to learn from those experiences. It's taken me an awful long way over the years. And I got to say, it's one of those lifelong lessons that I wouldn't trade for anything else. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening today that feel the exact same way, those lessons that get you to where you are. So again, I want to talk about your website, richardbattle.com. If people actually wanted to find out more about what you do, is that the best place for it?
Yes, and I speak, and my message is a timeless message to try to help people live more fulfilling lives. That's my mission.
Yeah. When you say people, do you mean business people or every people?
People in general, and I'll give you an example. In Conquering Life's course, one of the chapters I wrote about is the greatest gift we can give anyone, which I think is very important right now, and that is the gift of encouragement. An encouraging word at the right time can change someone's life. And too often, we don't give a person that encouraging word to tell them to take that chance. Go for it. Chase your dream. Even if you fail, you'll have a better memory and you will not have a regret. So if you have an opportunity, encourage someone else, especially in these days. It's so important.
Oh, yeah. Very important. That's very good advice for pretty much any industry. We don't do a lot of encouraging in general. I think we think about ourselves all the time. And we have social media to work against us because when you go onto social media, not much encouragement that's spread around social media. It seems there's so much more negative there than anything else. And it's kind of hard to combat that anymore.
Well, there's pretty much negative most everywhere. And even people having a conversation with others because of the stresses that are going on now, there's very little positivity. And so anyone who's providing a positive message is going to be listened to, and someone is going to respond favorably to that message. I had a lady when I went to the gym to check in 3 or 4 weeks ago that thanked me for a message I had in the book about the loss of my son some years ago. And out of the blue, she thanked me and recognized me in line, and it made my day because she encouraged me to continue my efforts and the importance of the efforts that I'm doing from that standpoint. And each person out there is doing something that helps somebody else. And when we say thank you and we encourage people for what they're doing, no matter what it is, it could be the postman or the people that pick up the garbage or your waiter at the restaurant. People need an uplifting word.
You know, you're channeling your inner Mr. Rogers here.
Well, I haven't been accused of that before, but I just think it's so important to share a positive message. Another one I would like to share with you is the only exercise that's not beneficial, and that's the exercise of worry, because worry will burn calories, but it's not beneficial. And a friend of mine's late aunt said, worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due.
Oh,
because
nice.
So often we worry about something that doesn't happen, or if it does, it's not as bad as we thought. And I had a friend years ago that when I was worried about something, he said, what did you worry about 3 years ago? And I couldn't remember. And that's I've good. Used that to help me, because will we remember this 3 years from now? I hope not. But generally,
you know, when you talk about
don't
the exercise, I thought you were going to say running your mouth, because that's part of the problem we have too. Okay, richardbattle.com, Conquering Life's Course. You can find that in other books that he's written about, well, many great topics. And I got to say, it was a pleasure to have you back on the show today. Richardbattle.com, people can check you out on there. Thank you for coming back on to KMOX.
Ryan, thank you so much. God bless you and your listeners.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. Another hour of Overnight America coming up. We'll talk a little bit about the testimony from Dr. Fauci today, Dr. Rand Paul in there too, and more details on the Jim White documentary airing tomorrow night. Don't go away.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,